Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, punishing children of the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another wonderful day here, another wonderful day that God has made for us. So today, I want to start by telling you, no, I'm not the new pastor for the church. That's still about a month away. My name is Jake Maird, and I'm a junior at Howard High School, and I'm so glad to be participating in our Youth Sunday here at Glenmar. So today I want to talk about a topic that I feel is really important and one that I don't think we talk about enough here at church, and that is idolatry. So idolatry is a word we don't use enough. So what does it mean? Well, idolatry is generally considered to be the worship of idols or some man-made object. And we read about idolatry a lot in the Bible. In fact, the second commandment states, "You shall not make for yourself an idol." Pretty simple, right? God's not exactly asking a whole lot of us here. We should be able to do this. However, us humans, we've had a history of messing this up pretty bad. In Exodus, Moses' brother Aaron gathers people around and makes a golden cow statue for them to worship. Now, we're above that, right? We more modern people would never fall into such a trap. We just aren't at that level of stupidity, right? We would never build a golden cow and worship it like a god. Or are we better than that? You see, we still think of idolatry in the traditional sense of creating a statue and claiming that it is God. Today, I want to show you that idolatry is really so much broader. Now, at this point, some of you may be confused and ready to throw me off the stage. I mean, what's this kid trying to do, redefining what idolatry is? We've used the same definition for thousands of years, and all of a sudden, one person wants to change it? Well, when I say we need to think of idolatry in a new way, what I mean is that idolatry is not just limited to statues. Idolatry is putting anything above God, not just fake gods. So in these modern times, we do put a lot of things before God, don't we? A lot more than just a statue. Now, I want to talk about some examples of things we put before God. So I want to start with time. Time is an invaluable, finite resource. Because it is so finite, we occasionally use our time for purposes other than God's own. So when it comes to idolatry, we have to make sure that we are dedicating our time in an appropriate manner. And one thing is not taking precedence over God. We should be giving our time to God cheerfully. Now look, I'll admit, when my dad walks into my room, turns the lights on, and rips my blankets off me at 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning, I'm not a happy camper. In fact, church kind of feels like an inconvenience in my day some weeks. Now, what would I be doing if I was not going to church? Well, probably sleeping. So I would rather have an hour of just laying in bed doing nothing than going to church and hearing about my Lord and Savior. Something's not right here. I have the opportunity to go hear about how God loves me with infinite compassion, and I can hear the wisdom of God. However, I choose to lay in bed and do nothing for an hour. Now, what about when it comes to work and school? The average adult spends 44 hours a week at work, and the average student spends 35 hours a week at school. So when I told my English teacher that homework is idolatry and that's why I didn't write my essay, she didn't agree with me. I'm not saying that school and work themselves are idols. They are good and necessary things. But do we ever find ourselves a little too dedicated to school and work? And does that extra dedication sometimes take away from our dedication to God? Do we sometimes tell ourselves that we won't go to that Bible study because we have that report to finish up? Now, we do not have to quit our jobs or quit school in order to worship God. We just have to make sure that they do not become more important than God in our lives. We need to make sure that work time and school time do not interfere with worship time. Now, if you can find some time from work and school to dedicate to God, that's wonderful. But for a lot of us, this is simply too difficult. So maybe there are some other places that can save us time. Maybe let's look at social media. Wait, I'm sorry. Feel buzzed. Oh, new Facebook follower. Well, we gotta give them a picture, right? Can I get a selfie real quick, everyone? Everyone in these rows, smile please, big smile. All right, perfect. New profile picture, I think, right there. That one was pretty good. Hashtag church. I'm gonna get so many likes on that. How many minutes do you guys think we spend on social media every day? Raise your hand if you think the average person spent 30 minutes or less on their phone in 2017 just looking at social media. No hands. Okay. 60 minutes. Does anyone think the average person spent 60 minutes on their phone in 2017 on social media? All right, we have a few hands. Now let's go to an extreme, 2 hours. If you think the average person spent 2 hours on their phone in 2017, raise your hand. All right, we have a lot of hands here. I should be seeing more hands over here in the youth choir. All right, well, it's a trick question. You're all wrong. The average person in 2017 spent 135 minutes on social media every day. That is over 2 hours. So instead of taking that time to check your sister's friend's cousin's dog's Facebook page, maybe take 10 minutes a day, just 10 minutes, and pray. Or do something and thank God for something wonderful he's done in your life, because he has done a lot of wonderful things in our life, hasn't he? Can I get an amen? Now, let's say you're really dedicated to this whole church thing and can cut your social media consumption in half to just an hour. No one said this was going to be easy, folks, but stick with me. Maybe you could take that hour and volunteer at a food bank or join a Bible study. Just do something where you put God above everything else. So time is very valuable, and maybe we don't dedicate enough of it to God. So what about money? Now, I know money is a sensitive subject, but it's also an important one. So when it comes to money and idolatry, we need to ensure that we are putting our economic trust in God, and nothing else is taking precedent. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body not more than clothes?" God gave us so much more focus on other than money. So it's a little perplexing that sometimes money becomes the center of our lives. What else does the Bible tell us about money? Well, a lot of people know that God asks for 10% of our income in the form of tithes. And a lot of people might say they can't afford this amount. But maybe they can afford it. They are just not prioritizing their spending correctly. They are putting their money before God. For example, the average American family spends over $4,500 a year on vacations. Now, I'm not saying that we can't do nice things for ourselves. God wants us to be happy and enjoy the beautiful world he's created for us. But maybe instead of going to Hawaii, drive to Myrtle Beach. There are also some smaller ways we can save money. The average American goes to the movie 5 times a year. And with tickets easily crossing $20, going to the movies can become a big expense pretty quickly. So I'm going to suggest that you only go to 3 movies this year and make 2 of them a stay-at-home rental. And actually, in my opinion, the stay-at-home rental's better. You can stay in your pajamas, you can make your own food, and you can even pause the movie when you need to go to the bathroom. How cool is that, folks? Now, I'm going to be frank. 10% of our income is no small amount. And a lot of people are already cutting costs and cannot afford to both put food on the table and give 10% of their income. Well, there's good news, folks. God is not the IRS. If you don't give 10% of your income, you will not be automatically just cast into hell. One story I think about was the poor widow in Mark chapter 12. You see, Jesus was watching a lot of rich people put a lot of coins into a pot. They were trying to make themselves look good and make a lot of noise from their coins hitting the pot. But none of this really grabbed Jesus' attention. What grabbed his attention was when a widow put in the equivalent of a penny. She put in 2 coins, and he stood up and said that what she did was right, because while the rich gave out of abundance, She had donated out of poverty. Think about it. The Bible asks us to give 10%, but she gave 100% of what she had. So in this passage, Jesus shows us that it's not how much you give, it's how you give. God wants us to give out of joy. If we begin to see giving as a form of worship, and we should, then you should give what makes you happy. If you begin to see giving as a form of worship and give out of joy, the amount of money will take care of itself. If you give your time, presence, gifts, and praise, that's wonderful. But for those of us who are able to afford our tithes and are not keeping up with them, aren't we putting our material wants over God? God gave us everything, so it's not unreasonable to give some of it back, is it? Let me put it this way. If someone gave you a dollar and asked for 10 cents back, would that be a bad thing? And while spending money itself is not idolatry, spending money becomes a problem when we begin to spend our money more on wants than when we're not giving God his share. For example, if I wasn't currently up on my tithes, but I go out and buy a new Louis Vuitton clothing and a purse, I like to be a little fashionable, doesn't that show where my priorities are? So when we aren't giving our tithes and can afford it, we are putting our money over God, which falls under our new definition of idolatry, doesn't it? Putting anything over God. Now, finally, I want to talk about literal idols. Not statues, but things and people we worship like celebrities. Do we ever maybe give celebrities a little too much attention that we should really be focusing on God? Do we sometimes try to emulate the newest hairstyles and fashion trends of the hottest stars when really we should be trying to model ourselves after Jesus? Do we spend too much time comparing our lives to those of celebrities rather than Jesus Christ's life? Let me ask you, if I turned on the radio, what would a popular artist be? Rap and hip-hop is currently the most popular genre in the United States. And while some rap has a positive and uplifting message, the vast majority on the radio and in pop culture does not. A music label called Music Smash did a study of the amount of curse words in the average rap song. And as it turns out, 1 in 47 words in the average rap song is an expletive. These are the people we're praising. These are the people filling stadiums with thousands of others. And we are idolizing people who endorse drug use and violence? Yet, God seems to hold a much lower place in our pop culture. When do you think was the last time Time magazine ran an article on God instead of a celebrity having a baby? So how do we stop ourselves from falling into this trap of idolatry? A lot of the time, when we do put time and money ahead of God, it's not something we do on purpose. It just kind of happens. So how do we prevent this? Well, the answer is to form a stronger bond with God. If you recognize that God is our Savior and he loves us with infinite compassion, then he will begin to take more and more precedence in your life. And the good news is, God is always open to having a stronger bond with you. His arms are wide open. He wants to bring us closer to him. And the closer we are to God, the less room there is between us for idols and people and money and time to take away from that. Now, before I bring this sermon to a close, I want to acknowledge that some of the things I mentioned, like time, money, and so on, are very important. Sometimes we place these things above God because society actually requires us to. And that's more of a flaw with society and its requirements than it is with ourselves. However, there are some things we put above God that are a little silly. No, not silly. I think the right word would be downright ridiculous. Has anyone here heard of the Tide Pod Challenge? I don't know if you've seen these, but these are Tide Pods. They are detergent for washing clothes and only made for washing clothes. This is what one looks like. Well, if you're not familiar with the Tide Pod Challenge, the latest craze sweeping the nation has been eating these. And no, eating soap does not cleanse your soul. These are not non-toxic. In fact, many people have been hospitalized or even killed by this trend. So people are actually eating soap. And I'd like to show you a little chart. Every year, Google records the number of searches for every search. The blue line shows the number of searches for the Tide Pod Challenge, and the red line shows the number of searches for a piece of scripture we referenced today, Exodus chapter 20. And I think this chart kind of speaks for itself. Our society is more concerned with eating soap than we are with God. So we've replaced the golden cow with eating laundry detergent. Now I think it's time we reverse this trend, isn't it? So I want to introduce to you what I'm calling the Go to Church Challenge. I want to challenge you to put your phone down for a few minutes a day and do something to praise God for 1 hour this week. There are 168 hours in a week. Just take one of those hours and dedicate it to God. Volunteer, pray, just do something other than eating soap, please. Put God ahead of your worldly possessions for just 1 hour. You can even volunteer doing something you love. In fact, you should volunteer doing something you love. God wants us to be happy when we give and to give joyfully. So I do give you permission to pull out that cell phone of yours, and instead of going on Instagram and tweeting about this sermon, maybe open up Google. And I want you to Google what's called Volunteer Match. Volunteer Match is an organization that gives you a short quiz about your interest and will match you with awesome volunteer opportunities in your area that are based on your interest. And also, I want to remind you that everything in this world has its place. There's nothing wrong with buying nice things. Please do not go quit your job and tell your boss that Jake Mayer told you to quit because working is idolatry. It's just important to make sure like things like work and luxuries do not take precedence over God when it becomes a problem. That's when it becomes a problem. So remember, this week, start by taking 1 hour and focus just on God. And no, coming to church does not count as that hour. Take an additional hour and focus on God. And as you do that, that 1 hour will become two, and that two hours will become three. And as you prioritize God in your life, you will find that God is way more fulfilling than all the time and all the money in the world. God created us to worship him and to be in a relationship with him and live our lives in a way that brings him joy and glory, not for eating soap. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful week. Amen.